Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome to the program. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Fred, good morning.
Good to be here, and I'm glad I'm here and not in New York.
Well, our co-host today, Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries, is in Dallas. Dallas, report in there. Do you have any snow or you got beautiful weather?
It's sunny skies. It's a little chilly, like 47 degrees, but we're going to hit, I guess, we're going to go be up in the 60s. I mean, it's nothing like the East Coast. It's bad up there well, Fred, up in your part of the world, heading up toward the Maritimes, there's some bad weather there.
Yeah, well, like a lot of places in North America, you know, everybody's been talking about what a mild winter it was, and even up in the Northeast, been mild. But this thing came out of, well, the cold air came out of Canada, the moisture came out of the South, and they got together. But I guess the good news for the dear folks who live up there is that as far as snow accumulation goes, it's not as bad as they were predicting 24 hours ago. They were talking 18 inches, 2 feet of snow.
It was going to be snowpocalypse up in the Northeast.
Yeah, it was.
So it's bad, but not quite that bad, I guess.
No, it's been greatly reduced. Some places now 4 to 6 inches only. But they are getting some freezing rain and that kind of thing. And as far as driving goes, that can be far worse than snow. So it ain't over for those folks yet. It's slowly moving north. But they're still having a bad day. There's something like they expect by the time it's over between Chicago, I guess, and Philly and New York and Boston, something like 8,000 flights will likely be canceled. So it's chaos for the air industry today.
And that always ripples out to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, you know, waiting to catch a flight in Atlanta that's been canceled, I mean, so it's... I guess the key, having grown up there in New England, the key is always the amount of snow in what amount of time.
Yeah,
because they can't, you know, these are professionals, you know, up there. They are used to snow, and if they can get out there with the snow plows and clear, you know, you can survive good. But when it's a compressed time like they were predicting, that's when it gets tricky. Now the ice, of course, is always a wild card, and so keep that part of the country in your prayers. And some of you who are listening are up there, and some of you have who aren't up there have relatives or friends who are. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. I'm sure everybody else is kind of watching. Weather's one of those things, guys, that everyone talks about.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's right. Why there's a weather channel.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. 24/7.
I don't as much anymore. I used to watch the weather channel a lot. And, you know, I was always amazed at the hosts of those programs. It's right up there with the shopping network.
Yeah.
You know, the shopping network.
Yeah. Right.
Those people are able to talk for an hour about one piece of jewelry.
That's right.
I'm mesmerized by that. How can you keep talking about that? It's a piece of jewelry. It's a bracelet.
Fred, is this a confession?
Yeah,
did you watch the
Fred,
shopping
this is
channel?
Ethiopian
I used
onyx,
to.
You know, it's red. It's blue. It's green. We got to look at it 17 times to be sure.
Well, that's capitalism at its finest. You have a whole channel dedicated towards talking the viewer into buying something they really don't need, but.
And your resume, you have to have the gift of gab.
That's right.
Yes.
The gift of gab. You've got to have
just,
that.
Just right. Keep talking, right?
Just keep talking.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, we want to welcome to the program also Frank Turek, who's author, and he is a dynamic speaker. He's a host of the radio program Cross Examined, heard on AFR Talk each Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time, and then also Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Time. Frank, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Dynamic speaker. Now you're putting all the pressure on me.
Well, hey, look, that was dynamic. Just what you said right there, Frank. I'm just impressed by that. So
I gotta come up with something dynamic now.
That's right. Well, we're gonna give you an opportunity. Fred is gonna kick us off here. What kind of I don't want Frank talking about the weather. He's gonna talk. It's gonna be dynamic. He's gonna be dynamic talking about something that counts.
Well, you may or may not be surprised. You know, everybody knows there's been this huge kerfuffle about members of the Trump team talking to the Russians. And boy, that's been making headlines like you wouldn't believe, raising suspicions, you know, about this whole narrative that the Russians helped defeat Hillary Clinton during the election. Well, guess what? Yesterday, over the weekend actually, was a spokesman for Vladimir Putin was talking to, I think it was a CNN interview, and this spokesman for Putin said, oh, by the way, you know what? During the election campaign, there were people with Hillary Clinton's camp who met with the Russians. The Russian ambassador to the United States apparently is a bit of a party guy. He likes getting out there. He likes meeting with everyone.
He's got the gift of gab, right?
He has got the gift of gab, the shopping network.
He's dynamic.
That's right.
He's dynamic.
He's a dynamic speaker.
Yeah. Well, he was speaking to the Hillary's people also. And you may be shocked by this. And the reason I say this is that this morning, Fox News was analyzing how this story about Hillary Clinton's team meeting with the Russians during the election campaign. Guess what kind of coverage you got on ABC, CBS, and NBC? Zip.
Let me guess. 0 minutes.
Zero minutes. Nothing. Nada. It's
Frank. Hey, Frank.
What?
You know, speaking of Russians with the gift of gab, what kind of name is Turek anyway?
Actually, it's Polish and partially Austrian. There's actually a town in Poland called Turek, a county in Poland called Turek. It means little buffalo. How's that for dynamic?
Little buffalo. Well, little buffalo. Well, that'll be your Native American name here.
That's it.
What do you think? I got to say this. Since, you know, we had 8 years of the love-in between the media, for the most part, Fox News wasn't a part of this, and, you know, conservative news wasn't. But the mainstream media, love-in with President Obama. We get President Trump, and I got to say, sometimes I am actually shocked. Like this story right here that Fred's talking about, actually shocked at the brazen bias. I mean, I've always known there was bias, but they are so brazen about it to be squawking about Russia, talking to Trump, the Trump campaign, or making the accusation anyway, during the campaign, and then to spend 0 minutes on this when it's revealed that the same thing was true about the Hillary Clinton campaign. I'm staggered by it. Am I just naive?
Well, actually, yeah, you probably are.
Add that to the list of things I am.
That's dynamic right there. Actually, the Media Research Center, run by Brent Bozell, has been around for probably 30 years now, and they document. They just watch every newscast. They look at every story. They quantify what's said on these major networks, and it's irrefutable what you're saying. I mean, it's just irrefutable. The media is far, far left wing in most cases. I mean, 89-90% of them would all be Hillary voters, and so you're not often going to get a fair, balanced look at the news from most of the media. That's just the way it is. And that's why we need more Christians, by the way, in journalism. We need more Christians involved in the media, because we've ceded all that to left wingers, and we get what we deserve.
Ray, what's your sense? You're out in Dallas. It's a big metroplex. I'm guessing you have people that you know around the city. You travel a lot.
Right.
You know, speaking and preaching and teaching the Bible at Christian camps and churches and conferences, so on and so forth. What's your sense in terms of the people you talk to, in terms of their perspective on the media? I mean, is there any trust left? I know this is back to the naivete.
No.
Any trust left?
It's gone for all the reasons that Frank just gave us a moment ago. Everybody knows. In fact, you know, in one sense, the mainstream media doesn't even make much of an attempt to be objective anymore, right? they let their bias show left and right. So whether it's here in Dallas or around the country, when you bring up, quote, the media, people just roll their eyes because who can you trust anymore? I mean, people attack social media, but sometimes I think you can find as much truth on social media. Or let's say it this way, you can find as much fake news in the mainstream media as you can find on social media. So I think the skepticism that most people in America have about the media is very well founded.
Well, Fred, you know, you have spent your whole life as a journalist. Of course, you head up some of our journalistic endeavors here, One News Now, American Family News. So having spent your whole life in this, and you were up in the Canadian broadcasting system, CBC?
Canada's NPR.
It's NPR, okay.
Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's what's called a crown corporation. In other words, it's taxpayer-funded.
So I know that we've talked before that it was liberal up there. Are things getting worse, or is it just the fact that it's 24/7 that we are getting pounded by it, or is it just our perspective?
Well, when I started out in the network, the National Radio Newsroom in Toronto, there were ex-BBC people there who took great pride and insisted that the bias of the editor, the bias of the reporter, never show. I mean, they were liberals, but the standard was, if I detect your bias in this at all, that story doesn't run. They had that kind of standard. So that's where I started off. This would be back in the mid-70s or so.
Okay.
But then what happened, there was a whole change, and I think it came out of the universities, it came out of the journalism schools, that the whole philosophy, the whole ideology of journalism changed in that we're now going to license you to give your point of view inside the story. It's very interesting you mentioned it today, because I was reading an article yesterday, and the mainstream media are doing so, especially in the wake of the last election, because so many of the polls were wrong, the journalists were wrong, you know, about who was going to win, who were out of touch. But the article that I read yesterday said you don't have to be balanced anymore. That's not the point of journalism anymore. They said you have to be fair. But fair is a very subjective thing.
Right.
If you're defining truth, your truth, as being fair, then you're allowed to bring your bias to the story. And, you know, the short answer on your question is this. Journalism has become unhinged from any kind of discipline at all. I think now it is open season for any journalist to declare their bias. And on top of that, I think Frank alluded to this a moment ago, 90% of the journalists we know from surveys vote Democrat. So basically, the journalists in this country, especially the mainline networks, that sort of thing, they are the propaganda machine for the left. And that's why you're going to see the stories torqued. I would say in the last 8 years, 90% of the political stories, stories about national politics when President Barack Obama was in the White House, were all positive. Like, basically, he could do no wrong. I would say since Donald Trump won the election in November and leading into his inauguration, 90% of the national political stories dealing with Trump are all negative against Trump. I mean, you don't even need the Media Research Center to tell you that. It is negative, negative, negative all the time. Every spin, anybody that you can find to dump on anything that Trump and his people are doing, that becomes the story. And we have another example of that yesterday from the CBO report coming out, the Congressional Budget Office report on the healthcare replacement for Obamacare. You knew. I think we talked about it yesterday before it actually came out.
Right, we did.
Here it comes. You're going to see the liberals say, ha, we told you it's not going to work, because the CBO report says within a year of this new health act coming in, there'll be 14 million people, Americans, without health care.
And the first reaction is people go, what?
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible. Those Republicans don't care about people.
Yeah, but here's the reality. Here's the reality. You have a bunch of people who signed up for Obamacare. We're talking about this this morning. I heard one person being interviewed on Fox this morning. They said, yeah, I was a member of the Obamacare exchange, and I had a little card that said I had health insurance. But he said, you know what my deductible was for my family? $12,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So you've got a health, you've got health insurance, but you don't have health care. So this $14 million that the CBO is talking about, there are millions of Americans now who may have a little card that says you got health care, health insurance, but you do not have health care. And so there's, but the headline still was, this proves that the Trump administration, what the House has come up with in the way of a bill to replace Obamacare, you see, it's not going to work.
Well, let me just throw a question out to you guys, and we can come back to the the Congressional Budget Office report if we have time. Frank, I'm going to start with you, all right? And so Ray and Fred, I want you guys to answer this question. Let's just talk about this for just a few minutes. We've been talking about the bias in the media. Fred, you've talked about how this country has shifted since the 70s, even when I was growing up, where you kind of thought Walter Cronkite was probably liberal, but it was
hard. And that's the way it was.
And that's all of America trusted Walter Cronkite. We've seen the shift. Fred, you've been also talking about how journalism as an occupation has changed. So, Frank, let me ask you this. Can a republic like ours, a free society, that the intent of the founders was, you know, let the press be free to not only report but also to keep the government in line, can a republic survive with media, the majority of media, the mainstream media, acting as a shill for one of the political parties, one side of the ideological spectrum? Are we in trouble?
Well, I think we are. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet in that sense. I am a dynamic speaker.
You're a dynamic speaker,
yeah,
but okay.
I'm not a prophet in that sense, but I will say this. The one good thing about the internet is that you can find other sources of news other than the big three networks. And of course, with the proliferation of all these channels we have now on cable and DirecTV and all that, I mean, you can go other places to get your news. The problem is there are still so many people in the middle that don't seem to get the idea that the media is biased, and they continue to watch, you know, ABC, NBC, and CBS, not realizing what's going on. In fact, I don't know who quoted this a minute ago, 90% of the Trump coverage has been negative. Actually, from the Media Research Center, they literally did an analysis for the first 30 days of the Trump administration, January 20th to February 18th. 88% was negative. 88% about the coverage on Trump was negative. Now, most presidents get somewhat of a honeymoon period, not Trump, 88% negative. So, yeah, I think it's a problem that the press is so far left. But part of that is our problem. What I mean I mean Christians, because Christians haven't been engaged in a journalism. We've ceded that basically to the left, and then we wonder why another one of the influencers in our culture, the media, goes godless. Well, when the godly people are out of it, no wonder it goes godless.
Well, Ray, I asked you earlier about, as you travel, do Christians understand that the media is biased? So let me flip the question to you. As you travel, do Christians care? Do Christians care? Are they informed? As far as you know, Frank is talking about access to the internet. There are other perspectives out there. There are fact-checking groups that check the media and so on and so forth. Are Christians paying attention?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm old enough to remember when it was Walter Cronkite, it was Huntley and Brinkley, and it was whoever was on ABC. I guess it was Howard K. Smith and then Harry Reasoner. In fact, I'm old enough to remember when Eric Severide he'd give his, you know, that deep voice, like the voice of Moses or something, you know, and that was the authoritative truth. I think we ought to be really glad for the advent of the internet, because as Frank points out, it has opened up. It's opened up the world. It's broken, to some degree, the media monopoly. Look, guys, before the internet, there was no American Family Radio. This program didn't exist because it couldn't exist. So do I think Christians are concerned about this? Yes, and I think they are more willing than ever to look at alternative sources for truth. Because when you hear CBS now, you better take it with a grain of salt. I mean, we at AFR, right, we're conservative, but at least we come right out and say we're conservative and we're Christian and we try to be biblical and we let you know what our biases are. I think that's a better way to do it than to pretend you are objective when really you are way over on the left.
Fred, what do you think? We just got a few minutes here before the break. Are we in trouble in America, or do you think there might be the possibility of a shift back, at least in some segments of the news business, a shift back to the old way of looking at journalism?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a shift in the mainstream media. You know, the New York Times and the ABCs and the CBSs, they are dedicated to being part of the left and being a mouthpiece for the left. You know, diversity in their newsrooms has to do with cultural and ethical background. It has nothing to do with a point of view. I don't think you'd have a tough job getting hired at ABC or CBS if you're a conservative.
Yeah.
You'd have a real tough time. They don't see that as part of their diversity. And so as Ray has said, thank God for American Family Radio. And to Frank's point also, I think it's there's an obligation on the part of Christians today. There is an opportunity for you to get news from a Christian perspective. And come to American Family Radio, American Family News, OneNewsNow.com. There are places where you can go now, and we will tell you what the left is saying.
Right.
We take pride in being accurate on that. Here's what they are saying, or we're not interested in talking. We don't have to. It's usually way out there
right,
in the left.
That's right.
So here's what they say, but here is the reaction to it. Here is the Christian perspective on all of this. So there's really an obligation, if you're a Christian out there, you are obligated to find a place where you can get the proper perspective on what's going on in your world today. And there are so many issues out there. I mean, there's the refugee issue right now.
Right.
You know, get a Christian perspective on that with regards to illegal immigration, all of those sorts of things. And then on top of that, you know, we cover what's going on in our churches today amongst the denominations. I mean, there is so much out there to learn today to incorporate into your biblical worldview. You are not going to get a biblical worldview. And I would say, you know, Fox is good. They're very good. They're good on the fiscal side of conservatism. But you won't hear a lot even on Fox News with regards to issues that are important to us as Christians when it comes to abortion,
right,
when it comes to homosexual marriage and that kind of thing. They step back from that battle. We don't do that here.
Right.
We are very biblical in our approach to that. So I think the obligation comes to be on Christians. And you may not have an AFR station in your town, but you can get us on the internet.
Right.
We are there. You can plug in your cell phone, dial up AFR. Wherever you go, AFR can be with you.
Well,
whatever you do, don't just read the New York Times, because every day I read the New York Times and the Bible just to see what both sides are doing.
Yeah, you got to keep up with what God's doing and the devil, right, Frank?
That's right, that's right.
Well, hey, that was a dynamic comment. I appreciate that. Frank Turek has been our guest this segment. He is an author, and he is, folks, a dynamic speaker. He's host of the radio program Cross Examined, heard on AFR Talk each Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. And from Sunday to from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Time.
And
yes.
I'm filling in for Brian this Thursday.
All right, great.
There,
hey, give us your website real quick before the break.
Crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. There you go.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
It's a dynamic website.
Folks, we're going to take a short break, and we will be back with Sandy Rios and more.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and he knew what it was just to have his message discarded by many of his hearers. And Jesus would have that too.
We'll also hear news and analysis from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. I'm broadcasting today's commentary from the middle of a blizzard. It's basically a hurricane with snow for all you folks in New Orleans. Some 30 million people are impacted by the storm, expected to drop several feet of snow. Air travel backed up from coast to coast. Storm could also impact the NCAA basketball tournament, many teams in the Northeast having to alter their travel plans. The Anglican Church is warning parents about the upcoming live version of Beauty and the Beast, says the Disney film may not be suitable for children, giving it an adult rating because of a controversial gay storyline. The town of Tiller, Oregon is up for sale, located in the southern part of the state, about 30-some-odd miles from Interstate 5. $3.8 million gets you a mile of waterfront property, 250 acres of timber, and a post office. There's also a grade school, but that's extra. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, who is news director for American Family News and One News Now, and then also Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries out in Dallas. Speaking of Tim Wildman, just got a text from him. He wanted me to pass this along. I'm currently in the Holy Land, but thanks to your prayers and support, we want to share that AFR is now on the air at 101.9 FM, serving Jacksonville, Florida. That's a pretty good-sized market. So that was part of that expansion, that radio expansion that the Lord allowed us to have a couple of years ago. It takes time to get these stations on the air, but we are grateful for that. Folks, also, we were talking before the break about staying up to speed on what is happening in the world and in our country from a Christian perspective. Fred was talking about how you can get American Family Radio online at AFR.net, but also on your app for your smartphone or your tablet, and you can listen. You download the app in about 60 seconds, and you can listen anywhere in the world. Also, we are adding a new text service for our AFR listeners. American Family Radio text updates can come your way. You can receive our weekly updates, one per week. We're not going to blow your phone up, via text directly to your phone by texting MyAFR to the number 41411 to help you stay informed on the latest from AFR. Well, we want to welcome one of our favorite guests, but also for our listeners, one of our favorite hosts on American Family Radio, Sandy Rios, who's AFA Director of Governmental Affairs. She is host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, heard on AFR Talk each weekday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. You know, you live down in Florida now, right? So we don't ever have to ask you about what the weather's like where you live.
Well, you know, I float around, so you just never know where I am. But there's no snow here today, that's for sure.
Well, that's great. It's a good place to be. And I will say this, the older I get, the better Florida looks to me. As a New Englander, I never thought I'd say that, but Florida looks awfully good. Well, Sandy, we've got a number of issues that we've been talking about. We always like to get your perspective. You have so many contacts in the D.C. area and the nation's capital, and so you're privy to things that we are not. Fred, what's the next story we want to deal with and ask Sandy about?
Well, I'd like to get your perspective on the news that Hillary Clinton's people also met with the Russian ambassador. We were discussing this a few moments ago, and I think a big part of the discussion of the story is the mainstream network didn't put up with have this story at all yesterday. ABC, CBS, NBC, not a mention of the fact that Hillary Clinton's people during the election campaign also met with the Russians.
And Sandy, have you ever talked to a Russian? I mean, just during any campaign.
I absolutely have. I could be in big trouble based on this standard.
That's right.
You better believe it. You know what? This is how silly things have gotten, because everyone, senators, people in office, meet with Russian ambassadors. Now, if you're running a presidential campaign, I don't know. You know, what was Mrs. Clinton doing meeting multiple times with the Russian ambassador? You have to know that the truth is here that the Democratic Party has very strong ties to the Russians. They do. You know, I could mention that, you remember that, the guy that runs, now I'm just going blank. The guy that runs the think tank, who was the chief think tank person for Mrs. Clinton, his brother, Tony Podesta, John Podesta. Oh. They have strong ties to the Russians. Tony Podesta is totally wrapped up with a Russian bank. That's who he works for. He's received millions of dollars, and he was actually paid to lobby to have the U.S. remove sanctions from Russia. We know that Mrs. Clinton and her husband totally involved with the Russians through the years. You know, she was the one, it was the Clinton Foundation, who sold the uranium supplies that the United States has to a Canadian operative who then made them available to the Russians with full knowledge on the Clintons' part. I could go on and on. Ted Kennedy, we know from a series of files that were previously sealed off. They were released when I was a president of CWA back in probably 2002 or 3. We find out that Edward Kennedy, when he was running for president, wrote a letter to the communist Russians. At that time, we were in a Cold War with them. They were our enemies, and we knew it. He wrote a letter to them asking for their help here, inside, whatever influence they had, to help him win. And he promised he would be much better to them than Ronald Reagan. I could go on and on.
Wow.
With the ties between the Democrats and the Russians. So this whole thing is just, you know, the FBI, I'm sure you guys know and have talked about this, the assistant FBI director, the assistant to I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with the words. You know what? Here's the truth. You want to hear the truth? I am on a diet, and I'm on cold medication. So my brain is, I'm both hungry and also confused. So.
That's a tough combination.
We recommend
that you don't operate heavy machinery.
I don't know. It's true. Anyway, FBI Director Comey's main guy at the White House about 3 weeks ago pulled Reince Priebus aside and told him that they had found absolutely no connection between the Russians and the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. Reince Priebus asks him to please make a statement from the FBI on that, and the FBI refused. We know that there have been investigations. There is not a shred of evidence that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians over that campaign. It's just ridiculous. And I could say more about it and would if you wanted me to. But I've been talking quite a bit here, so.
Well, you know, we don't want you to talk if you're under the influence of cold medicine. We want to try to keep you focused.
Well, it's
as focused
even better.
As
we never know what Sandy might say then. Anything could happen.
Just ask me anything. I'll tell you.
Well, Sandy, tell us a little bit about what you're hearing in terms of the intra-party battle on the part of the Republicans over the health care. I want to try to be more specific, but there's so many options on the table in terms of, you know, straight up repeal and replace, so on and so forth. When you talk to people in D.C., what are you hearing? Because as Fred has pointed out on the show on a number of occasions, the Democrats, I'm sure, have disagreements. They just don't do it publicly. This is like mom and dad fighting at the restaurant, arguing at the restaurant. Republicans seem to have no problem at all with airing their dirty laundry. But what is it that you're hearing in terms of the direction that this could go?
Oh, boy. All right. Let me see if I can make this as simple, this complex thing, as you already said, as simple as I can. I would say that, let's backdrop, the Republican leadership is always annoyed by conservatives. Whether it's Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan or the men that surround both of them, they have been actively trying to purge the party. John McCain also. John McCain's been very public about it. He was one of the first persons that poured his campaign coffers after his failed attempt at president into electing blue rhino Republicans. Mark Kirk was one of the first persons that John McCain, that was first the head that he got for their side. And so they pretty much did a good job of purging the Congress of these icky conservatives, except there's like 30 in this Freedom Caucus. And these are really good men, and I know a lot of these men. It's all men. I don't think there are any women in the Freedom Caucus. I don't know where the good women are, but they're not there. So these guys are stalwarts, and many of them, you know, some of them were for Ted Cruz, others were for Trump, but they are honest men who want to keep their promises. Jim Jordan, Dave Brett, Raul Labrador, and I could go on and on. There's 40, maybe 40 of them. So now, the way this is being framed, the Republicans, including Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, all ran on, you know, repealing Obamacare. We're going to repeal Obamacare. Of course, we're going to do away with Obamacare. Of course, now that they can, they don't want to. Because the truth of it is that the leadership in the Republican Party are closer to the Democrats than they are to the conservative Republicans. They hate the conservative Republicans more than they do the Democrats, I would argue. At least we can only say that when they find their voices and their anger, it's always aimed at conservatives. They never came after Barack Obama. They never aim their wrath at the left. They always aim it to the right. And so what are they doing now? I'll tell you what they're doing now. Paul Ryan is positioning this new bill, which he's crafted secretly, I might add. Conservatives had nothing to do with this. They unveiled it the first part of this week, much like the Democrats unveiled Obamacare. And they now are claiming, Paul Ryan is claiming, that this is what they campaigned on. And if everybody just doesn't get on board and vote for this, then they are going to be, they're going to receive the ire of the leadership. And so, let me just add that that's not what they ran on. They ran on repealing and doing away with Obamacare. They did not run on this particular plan that Paul Ryan has crafted, which my friends that I trust say is just as bad as Obamacare. It is not a full repeal. It maintains many of the things in Obamacare. It is a piece of legislation that appears to have been worked out by lobbyists on K Street and Chamber of Commerce. And so it's a problem. It's always been a problem. So what are they doing? The leadership now is spending money, millions of dollars, through a political action campaign to run ads against the conservatives in their districts because they're all coming up for election. And so it's just another chance for them to get rid of these icky conservatives, just like they did over immigration. They did the same thing. They all ran on strengthening the borders, enforcing immigration law, but they didn't really mean it. So then when they got in office, Paul Ryan, remember, he campaigned with Luis Gutierrez, who is an outright leftist, open borders socialist. Paul Ryan is very far to the left on that issue, and they want to get rid of these icky conservatives because they've actually stood in the way of the wishes of the control of the House, and I would argue of the Senate too, which are far to the left of what the people really want. Donald Trump articulated what the people want. That's why he won the election.
Well, Sandy, I think after this show, I'm going to need some cough medicine or something. I'm going to need to go for a pizza or something, because you have just outlined a situation in D.C. But I'll tell you what, kind of like the old expression says, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. It explains what we are seeing being played out in private and most disturbingly in public, as we watch the two or whatever, three sides, however many sides there are in this debate within the Republican Party. This is like having split personalities. Well, anyway, Sandy.
Can I just add a couple more things? Because I there's a few other things that I need to tell our listeners before we say goodbye. The conservatives in the House, what they want to do is separate the vote so that they do a clean repeal. And they already had verbiage legislation. The House and the Senate passed it. It went to Barack Obama's desk, and he would not sign it. They have a bill in place. The words are already there. It's already passed. They would like to separate that and then hash out whatever it is they do to patch, to create some sort of a health care framework that would be beneficial to the American people. So that's their goal. But the second thing, you know, initially the leadership had been pulling Donald Trump along. Paul Ryan had his ear. Rand Paul made the statement publicly just a couple of days ago that he thought Paul Ryan was pulling the wool over President Trump's eyes. And I believe that's true myself. And so Donald Trump seemed to indicate early on that he would come after these conservative Republicans himself from his bully pulpit. But things have changed, because the Freedom Caucus met with Donald Trump last Thursday, and they had a good long time with him. And I think they were able to point out to him that the things that are in this bill, you know, I do not fault Donald Trump for this. You cannot run an enterprise as big as the United States of America and know every jot and tittle of every proposal.
Right.
And so a good leader doesn't. So you have people that you trust. Only in this case, he can't trust these people. And so they've given him this. They've claimed it says things that it doesn't say and does things that it doesn't do. And so the Freedom Caucus talked in the other side of his head, you know, the other ear, and said, no, wait a minute. We are your friends. We're trying to protect you, because if this goes through, you're going to wear this. And so now President Trump has backed off. I don't know what he's going to do, honestly. It's that's where we are. And I actually hope that they will push for that vote on repeal and then take some time here now to put together some sort of plan or approach that makes sense for Americans.
Well, Sandy, thank you so much for being on with us. Sandy Rios, who's AFA Director of Governmental Affairs. She's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, that's heard on AFR Talk each weekday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, thanks so much for everything you bring to the table in our discussions on this. You speak truth, and you make it easily digestible, all while being on a diet and being on cold medicine. That is no easy task.
I know, so. There's just a lot to look up to here.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate
it. All right. Okay, talk to you guys later.
See you, Sandy.
Okay, bye.
Well, guys, that's we want to get to a couple more stories here if we can. But, Ray, for conservatives, you say, all right, Trump beat Hillary Clinton. We're not going to have a secular progressive in the White House. Republicans control both houses of Congress. Perhaps President Trump can get some of these big ticket item things done in his first 100 days or his first 6 months or whatever. But hearing Sandy talk, and, you know, because we've been talking about the two sides within the Republican Party on this issue, I got to tell you, that's pretty discouraging, because I think, well, what else do you try to do to try to get the people up in D.C. who understand the Constitution and who desire to see a constitutional form and a conservative form of government in the nation's capital? Ray, I got to tell you, I'm heading for Pizza Hut.
And the cold medicine.
And the cold medicine on top.
You know, listening to all of that, it makes me wonder. This is going to be a huge test for President Trump. He is the ultimate deal maker. Everybody, left and right, agrees on that. That's his natural gift. And I think he's off to a good start, you know, having the having the congressmen in, the senators in, going bowling, having the pizza, talking it all over. So, Fred, what do you think the chances are that what Sandy said, what are the chances it's going to actually work out that way, that they're going to end up separating and do a repeal vote and then replace later? I know Paul Ryan wants to do them both together. How do you think it's going to play out?
Well, and again, we've said this many times, Donald Trump is not your typical president of the United States.
No.
We got to keep that in mind. He is a businessman. He is the art of the deal. And he is bringing all of these forces together. And what he tries to do, I think, when at the end of the day is, okay, let's find some common ground in all of this. And I think he's very persuasive. You know, we see these meetings around the table. Every day he has meetings with various groups and very diverse in all of this. He's very, very smart. He's, you know, we've learned a lot about Donald Trump over the last couple of years. He's very smart. He's very good at bringing people together. And I think he'll call out those members of the Republican Party who at the end of the day, really get in his way and try to go their own, you know, mavericks, as it were. He wants this done. And I think if there's any president who is going to stick to it, and he's going to say, no, we're going to do this, we're going to make good on our promises to the American people, it is President Donald Trump. And I'm not saying he's the perfect man, he's got his faults, but he's got this dogged determinedness to do the deal. And, you know, a reminder yesterday, he is not doing this, you know, for pride purposes. Yesterday it was announced, you know, he's not taking his $400,000 salary. You know what he did yesterday? He let it be known through Sean Spicer at the press briefing. He said, the president wants you reporters to decide what groups are going to get my $400,000 salary. You guys decide. He has, you know, he dumps on the press all the time, but then he does that.
Yeah.
There's a purpose to it. They're not going to be able to criticize what he does with that $400,000 because they're going to decide. Now, somebody said this morning, what if they decide Planned Parenthood? Then what is he going to do?
Right.
Now, I think Donald Trump will say, no, you guys know I'm not in favor of that. But he threw it into the lap of the enemy.
Yeah.
You guys decide where my $400,000 salary is going to go. But you see, that's Donald Trump. That's what he does. And he is the deal maker. He is the person, let's bring people in, let's get them around the table, let's bowl, let's have pizza, yeah, and let's talk about this.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think Trump is the one who has to bring these warring factions together because this, as Sandy points out, this is a divide within the Republican Party. Now, there's some things, as is always the case when Sandy comes on the program, things that I did not know, you know, about what's happening behind the scenes. But Trump, and it's not that I would blame Trump if it doesn't get done. I just think, as you point out, Fred, he's the only one who can bring these things together. I think he's got to lay it on the line. He's going to say, look, guys, this was 2016 was a dramatic upset. We all agree on that. Hillary Clinton was predicted to win. Most people thought she was going to win. She didn't. I did. And there's a reason for that. And I campaigned on repealing Obamacare and replacing it. And that's what I want to see happen. And so I like Sandy's idea. You know, and the Freedom Caucus, they want a clean repeal. Let's end it, and let's take some time. You know, you can say it will end on August 1st, or it can end on June 1st, or whatever, to give you some time to put together what you want to replace it with. But I think that Donald Trump is the one who can get this done.
Okay. Well, does that mean, Ed, that or Fred, at the end of the day, and I mean, not this week or next week, but down the road here, because both of you made a persuasive case that the president is the ultimate negotiator, and he's a pragmatic man, right?
Mm-hmm,
he
right.
wants he's going to make sure. I'm kind of smiling. I mean, he's going to make sure that we're going to get this repeal and replace done one way or the other. Does that mean that if at the end that it's the Freedom Caucus standing in the way, that Trump will say to them, okay, guys, get in line or you're going to face, you're going to be the ones to feel the wrath? Could it end up that way?
It could. He's got the president's got the ultimate card. He doesn't face the electorate for 4 years.
Right.
Next year, members of the House face the electorate.
All of them.
All of them.
Right.
And then you got a bunch of senators who also face the electorate next year. He has got that card to play. Hey, you guys, if you don't get this done, it is your election that's up next year. We're talking just, 17 months or so before they face the electorate again.
Right.
Donald Trump has got 4 years to play all of this out. I just think he's going to find a way to bring this together. I think they have to have the vote on repeal so that it's gone. They keep that promise to the American people.
Right.
And then they schedule in these various changes over the next 2 or 3 years. I think the Freedom Caucus will go along with that as bringing about these changes. As we've said before, it has got to be done in stages, because there are people with insurance policies right now that you just can't go out and cancel. You've got to. So let's give it until September or so that you've got a plan in place, so that the folks who are then facing a re-sign up for Obamacare in September or so, that Obamacare is out of the way, but we've got a separate plan for you now. So that has got to be the agenda. I think that's where the pressure comes right now, is let's get this done, let's do the repeal, and then let's come over here and say, okay, phase one, year one, here's what we're going to do to ensure that people have the option. As we discussed yesterday, there are going to be a lot of people, like there was with Obamacare, they took the fine, rather they don't want insurance, young people in particular.
Right.
So, but it puts the decision in the laps of the American people, which is the thrust behind repealing Obamacare. Let's put health care back into the hands of the American people. Let's stop pointing a gun to their head to force them to do something that the federal government wants them to do. Let's leave it up to the American people. Let's help those that need some help, thus the tax credits. Let's ensure our elderly through Medicare and others through Medicaid are still helped. Phase one, and then phase two, and then phase three. That's the way it has to be. I think the American people will be fine with that.
And I would also point to what you were talking about in terms of the election. Here's the thing, I think, that for the Freedom Caucus, which is a small slice of the Republican pie, so to speak, in the House. Okay, here's the message, as Sandy Rios was talking about. Apparently, this is part of the message when they met with President Trump, and this goes to the reelection issue. Whatever the Republicans decide to do in the end, Trump's going to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do not keep Trump's promise to repeal Obamacare and instead come up with what Sandy's describing the establishment Republicans seem to want, and that is Obamacare light. If that was what they give the American people, I don't think the Republicans and conservatives are going to like that. Trump has to know he is going to have to wear that for 4 years, and it's going to come up if he gets primaried, if he gets challenged by conservatives in 2020. He knows he's going to have to defend what they did on Obamacare, perhaps more than anything else other than the border and immigration policy. So hopefully that message will stick in the president's ear. All right, folks, we are going to take a 5-minute break for news. Yes, that's right. More news, more than you can handle, but it's really what you need. You know that. We're going to take a break. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now. And then Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. KeepBelieving.com is his website. When we come back from the break, we're going to ask Ray to tell us a little bit about what people might find there. 5-minute news, 5-minute break for news, and we will come right back with more information for you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.